maturing our walk with Christ. But then the second point here is to actively seek God. So we can say like, oh, God, I want you to speak to me. But if I'm not like actively seeking God or seeking his voice, then you probably won't hear from him because scripture does talk about how God wants us. And Jeremiah says like, you'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. Right. And God wants us to seek him with all we have. And that's pretty cool that he's drawing us to himself like that. But some practical steps, like fundamentals for doing this, is to read the word. When you read the Bible, it really helps you understand God's character and his will. You can see it throughout all the stories in scripture of God working in people's lives, and how he works in people's lives, the kinds of things he says. Like if you read the gospels and you see Jesus, you'll learn his character. You'll learn who he is. And so then when he comes to work in your life, you'll be like, oh, I can recognize this. And then also prayer. So just the practice of listening to God, speaking to him, listening to him. That's the hardest one for me, is just sitting there listening, because my thoughts wander. I'm always like, oh, but I got to do this. Oh, yeah, and then there's that thing. And then, oh, wait. And then I got to go do that. And then, like, my thoughts kind of go off. It takes about 5 seconds. So it's like a practice. I'm trying to practice more. But, yeah, listening to God is really a good way to actively seek him. And then worshiping God. I think this is a really great way to actively seek him. And I don't just mean, like, through singing songs, but like worshiping God by turning our attention and our adoration towards him. So whether that's singing praises to him on Sunday morning, or whether that's studying for an exam, and I'm going to say like, God, I'm going to do this to my best of my ability, to your glory, like that's to him, you know? And so that can be a form of worship too. Or if you're a diver and you're diving and you do cool flips, and you can do that to the glory of God as well. Or aerospace, making airplanes and jet engines, or chemistry. You can do chemistry too, to the glory of God, mixing chemicals. yeah. And then the third point here too, this is a really important one, and it's very complicated. Ask God to speak to you. Shoot. It's actually not complicated. It's just kidding. But yeah, just ask God to speak to you. In James 4:8, it has a promise. It says that if we draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It's a really great promise. It's really simple, but it's really, really powerful. And this tells us that as we pursue God and want to be close to him, and that's our desire, he's going to draw close to us. And that's a promise. It's not just like a try your hardest and maybe you'll get there. It's like a he's going to do it. And that's so cool. Yes. So that's kind of how you position your heart and get ready to hear God's voice, just seeking him, pursuing godly character. So you feel like God's speaking to you. How do you know? How do you learn discernment? We call that discernment, being able to discern whether it's God's voice. Is it just my own thoughts? Is it my friend's thoughts? Is it the bad pizza I had last night? You know, is it the devil? Like, how do you know what is speaking to me, right? So I've got some guardrails here for us, some ways to know that we're going to land the plane correctly. The first one here is God's voice always aligns with scripture and he always sounds like Jesus. So you'll know that it's him because in Hebrews 13 verse 8, it says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His character is consistent. He's not going to change. And so when he speaks to you, and it sounds like something Jesus would say in the scriptures, you know for sure that that's probably God, right? God's voice always sounds like the fruits of the Spirit. It's gentle, it's patient, it's kind, it's loving, joyful. God can bring correction to our lives, and he often does, but it's never condemning. It's never like, you know, oh, you're a horrible person, do more, do better, try harder. Like, God is gentle. He's gentle. And I think that's really important, like, to know that when he speaks to us, he's not holding our sin over our heads, because he took the sin to the cross, you know. And that can sometimes hold us back from wanting to hear from God, like he's holding something over our heads or something like that, but that's not him. That's not his character at all. And we know that because of the word. This is kind of just like a practical thing, but if you feel like God's telling you to here's some examples of like, is this God or not? If you feel like God's telling you to go talk to somebody new, for example, in the core group or on a Sunday morning or even just in class or something, and you feel like I should go encourage this person, tell them something nice. I think it's pretty safe to say that it's God, because that's something God would do. That's something Jesus would do. The devil wouldn't want you to do that. And I don't know about you, but talking to strangers, I have a fun time doing that most of the time, but there's also a lot of times where I don't want to talk to new people, just being real. And I know that it's God, because he's pushing me out of my comfort zone and having me do something that would be like him, right? Yeah. So at the very least, though, it could still be you. Like, if you're a real people person and, like, going out and encouraging people is your thing, it's okay, because you're still being Christ-like, whether or not it's your thoughts or not, right? So it's okay to, like, practice that. Some things God won't tell you to do. He won't tell you to go commit murder. He won't tell you to steal something. He won't tell you to lie or cheat. Because these things, they seem silly to think that, but, like, some people think those, like, that kind of stuff. These things go against who God is, so we know that it's not him. Another really big one, so getting in the Word, getting in Scripture, knowing that it sounds like Jesus, that's the first step. Second kind of point here is to seek wise, godly counsel from trusted people. In Scripture we see examples where discernment is practiced through the church body. So you feel like God's telling you to do something, like go to a new school, or I don't know. I'm having a hard time coming up with examples, because oftentimes when God speaks to people, it's specific to them and their situation. But let's say God's speaking to you something, and it's a big thing, and you want to know, is this God or not? A great way to discern that is to see it confirmed by other people in the body, because we're all connected. And the Holy Spirit likes to use the body to confirm what he's speaking. And so, like, often something that Brooke and I will do when we're praying through something is we'll go to, like, our leaders, Pastor Nino and Tammy, or good friends of ours, like Chris and Julie, and get confirmation. Like, we're feeling this. We're feeling like God might be saying this, but what do you guys think? You know, and they might be like, that's way off, you know, and we'll be like, okay. Good to know. We'll consider that feedback, right? And then if we bring it to multiple people and they're all like, no, then like that's kind of a red flag, right? Now, ultimately, we have responsibility for our own obedience to God, but like that can really help you understand and discern, like, is this God speaking to me, or is this like something else, or just my own ideas or whatever? And this is something we see happen in the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, there's a really cool story where the disciples have to make this really big decision, because the church is growing. They're bringing new people in. They're having to learn, like, what do we teach? What do we not teach? Like, how do we include these people? And their decision process was summed up with this verse that says that it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So then we came to this final decision, which I won't get into for the sake of time, but they made this decision. And the conclusion here, the way that we knew they got to that decision was that it seemed good both to the Holy Spirit, who confirmed it to them in their hearts, and to the body too. And so because the early church did it that way, we want to do it that way too. And it's just a good example of how to do that. And so I just have a couple practical steps for discernment as you're like practicing this and learning to hear God's voice. Something that I like to do and have done before is I like to journal. Does anybody journal? Okay, a handful of us. Okay, I don't do it as much as I'd like, but journaling can be a really great way. Like, if you had a dream and you're like, I never have dreams and I never remember my dreams, like me, and then all of a sudden you have this very vivid dream, I'll write it down and just let it be for a while, pray on it. And if I feel like God was trying to speak to me through that dream, I might ask someone else, like, hey, I had this crazy dream. What do you think about this? somebody trusted too. Like, that's another thing. Like, you want to make sure the people you're going to counsel for are mature in their faith and wise. Or if I'm having like an intuition or a thought or an idea of what I feel like God is speaking to me, I like to journal all that down, and then I can have a record and go back and see like, oh, okay, God has been speaking this through multiple people over a long period of time. It seems like there's a pattern here. God's wanting to do something. That's kind of how I keep track of like what's God speaking. And then I always test it against scripture. So like, is what God's saying, what I feel like God's saying to me, scriptural? Like, is it, or is it way out of left field? And that's another reason for why you got to be in the Word. You got to be knowing, like, what does the Bible say? Or else it's going to be hard to be able to do that. And then I also like to look for confirmation from reliable sources. So, like, those mentors in my life, those people that I view as spiritual leaders and brothers and sisters who are mature in their faith, like, I'll share that stuff with them that God is, like, speaking and doing in my life and get feedback from them. And it's a great way to have confirmation that God is doing this. So that's how to grow sensitivity to the voice of God and how to kind of start learning discernment. So I have a couple of things here. Things to avoid. This is the fun stuff. These are some things that I've seen. I've grown up in Pentecostal church my whole life, and I've seen some stuff. And yeah, if you've been around at all, you seen some stuff. And I've seen, these are some things to avoid. So we had like the lights that show us this is the right path, and these are the gutter guards showing us don't go this way. Okay. A big one that I see and have seen is misinterpreting emotions for God's voice. Emotions are amazing. They're wonderful. I'm discovering this more and more, how great emotions are. Even the ones that I don't always like being angry or being like sad or those emotions, they're good too. And God can use those emotions to help us understand the world around us, our relationships. They're really, really great things, but our emotions are not God. They're created by God, but they're not God. And he can speak to us and it can make us emotional. But that doesn't mean that that's what he's saying in his voice, right? And so that's just something to kind of remember as you're like trying to learn God's voice. Because there's been so many times in my life where like I've had a prophetic word or had someone pray for me or friends that I know who have had that similar experience, and they're like bawling. And I'm a crier. Like when, for some reason, I don't really cry very often unless it's like a sad movie about dogs or a war movie. Saving Private Ryan gets me every time. Anyway. Where was I? Crying. When the Holy Spirit, when I feel like God's presence, I can't stop crying. I don't know why. It's like I have this mucus moment at the carpet, and it's just like, oh, it's a whole thing. Anyway, but that doesn't mean that when I experience that, that experience can be a result of God's presence, but that doesn't necessarily mean that is God's presence itself. Does that make sense? Like sometimes we can seek and chase after that emotional experience and feel like, oh, that was God, but an emotional experience in and of itself isn't God, right? And so I just think that's a really important thing to remember as we're maturing and learning discernment and learning to hear God's voice. Yeah. And so another big one is the misuse of Scripture. So God uses the Bible to communicate his will and his character, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book. But it shouldn't be used like rolling dice to figure out like what's God saying. Like, when I was like a kid, I would open the Bible up and be like, God speak to me, God speak to me. Oh, this word. And I was like, and. I'm like, okay, that must not be it. And I open up to another page, God speak to me. No, that's not it. You know, like that kind of thing. And that's not how you're supposed to use the Bible. Like you're missing the point here. And yeah, we can kind of overthink, overanalyze words and verses and the context and stuff. And you got to remember to take the scripture for what its intention is. Which is to reveal God to us and his will and his character, but it's not like a magical like book to, yeah, it's not, don't do it like that. And then another one is just not using discernment, like, oh, I have this thought, maybe I should become an engineer now, and I'm an art student, and like, okay, I'm just going to do that because I had this thought one day, right? If you're not like in the Word, testing it against Scripture, getting counsel, praying on it, like those things that we talked about earlier, it's going to be hard to be able to discern with God if you're not discerning. And then this is another one, which is a really important one, and this is the last point here on things to avoid. It's just not vetting personal prophecy. So that's like a big one. So sometimes you'll be like praying, and somebody will be like, I feel like God is wanting to say this to you. Like we'll be praying in church or something. And then they say, and you're an art student, and they say, God wants you to drop out of school, become a goat farmer. You're like, what? But they're saying God said it, right? So it's like, is God saying that? But you don't even know a thing about goats. You grew up in the city. You don't even know, like, that would never happen, right? Chances are that's not God. I would say 99% sure that's not God. And what I mean is, like, God has made you a certain way. He's designed your, he's given you personality. He's given you interests, desires in your heart. And if you love engineering and you love building airplanes, and then someone tells you, God said you're going to be a goat farmer. Now, if you are praying on this over a long period of time and all of a sudden God is doing something in you and it's reliable people confirming in your life, like, yeah, maybe God wants you to be a goat farmer and, like, you start loving goats and all that stuff, maybe God will push you in that direction. I can't say for sure 100% that he won't, but I'm 99% sure that it's not going to be from God. So just keep that in mind. Like, vet it. There's this story in the Bible that we'll close with here. But when God gives you, like, a word, it's got to be confirmed by what God's already saying to you. That's really, really important because it's got to be vetted by you. Like, you can't just rely on, you need counsel, you need biblical wisdom, but, like, you've got to make sure that you're vetting it yourself, right? And in the book of Acts, where we see a lot of people of the Spirit, Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 10, going down to 14, which I think I have my phone on me. I'm going to read the story, but I left my phone over here. I'll be right back. Okay. So, yeah, commercial break. Okay, we can turn to the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 10. It's a pretty crazy story. So this is like near the end of Paul's life and ministry, Paul the Apostle. And God had told him that he was going to go back to Jerusalem and basically be imprisoned and put to death, and he was going to suffer. And that's not a very fun word to get from God, you know? And this is just an example of personal prophecy needing to be vetted by you and what God's speaking to you. But it says this. It says, and after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over us to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, Agabus' own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem will bind the owners of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Whoa. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. So this is just a great example of God using people through prophetic ministry and that prophetic word being vetted by the person who received the word, right? Agabus gave Paul a word saying, you're going to be tied up, put in chains, and put to death. And this is a word that Paul knew was going to happen because he had confirmed it to him previously in the story. But the people around him are like, don't do it, because we don't want you to die. I mean, who would want that, right? I can understand this. But Paul knew this is what God was leading him to do. So this is just a great example of, like, we really need to have personal confirmation and conviction of what God's saying, not just going with people telling you you need to be a goat farmer or something like that, right? And that's just to give you some security and confidence in knowing that God is speaking to you and how to know that and not feel like if anything people say is this is what God's saying, that you listen to it. That, how do I word this? Just because someone says God is saying it doesn't mean it's God. But there are ways you can have here to know it is God, right? It's not like a mystery. But it's kind of the guidelines and things to avoid, the gutters and the lights. The duo can come back up to the front. We're going to spend some time in prayer this morning, the rest of service. And I really believe God's wanting to communicate to us today, to you personally. And I was just really feeling while we were praying earlier, too, that maybe there's people who have wanted to hear God's voice and wanted God to speak to them but never have never felt like he's spoken to them before. Maybe they've never, like, understood. Maybe they've felt like God won't speak to me. He'll speak to other people, but he won't speak to me. And I feel like God wants to reveal himself to you this morning and do something really powerful, reveal his love and, just in a new, fresh way. And so if there's anything of that, what we were talked about today, what I talked about that you'd like prayer for, whether that's I want God to help me develop my life in such a way that would reflect him and be more like him so that he will speak to me, or whether you've been hurt by people who have said this is what God is saying and it wasn't real and it hurt you, we can pray for that too. Like, there's so much we can pray for. But if you want prayer, come on down and we'll pray, and I'll turn it over to Pastor Nino, and we'll get at it. So, yeah.